recordings. There we are. Hi, we are live. This is me, Rabbi Brian, and I'm here with all of my friends. All my friends, would you guys wave, say hi so the people on Facebook land and in YouTube and people watching later can see? Thank you guys for all participating and for being here. If I didn't welcome you by name already, please feel welcomed. I'm glad that you're here. Let me get back to my main screen. Today is January the 9th, 2021. I'm Rabbi Brian. I am your host here for what we're referring to as the Saturday service. It is a religious service that is spontaneous in a way. There's no set liturgy. I have an outline of what it is I plan for us to be talking about, but we will see how things go because this is live, and that's part of it. I am today broadcasting from Bend, Oregon, B-E-N-D, Oregon. It's a, if you want, look up where that is, you can find it. It is cold here, and we're doing a proof of concept this morning, which is, I have this dream in the future that when I run these services, I want to be able to travel and go to different places and to preach and to talk and to take all of you with me. And the idea is that when we're able to travel again, I should be able to go and give a talk on a Friday night and Saturday morning live in person, do this service with whoever's there, and to have all of you be able to join me as well and to join us for the discussion. And right before COVID, I had just begun doing hybrid classes and a few hybrid services, which were live and live in person and live on the web at the same time. And of course, as you know, the in-person part got taken away. But this is a proof of concept to see, can this work? I'm here in Bend, in a friend allowed us to use their home here. And I want to see, can this work just from here? And it seems to be working so far. One downside is I'm not able to see everyone's faces quite as easily on the screen. So I will do the best I can to be going back and forth to make sure all of you feel welcome and seen. You might have to, if you see somebody has something really burning to say, I can't see everyone's faces at once this way. So Aviva or Carol or anyone, if you see somebody who just interrupt and let me know there's somebody who really wanted to say something. I want to start us doing something pretty simple. We talked about this at the Tuesday group. And it goes like this. It's a complicated process. And I only want to do half of it with you guys because I don't want to confuse you with the other half of it. So we're only going to practice half of it today. And it goes like this. I want everyone to do this. Just let everyone breathe out. All right, everyone try that again. Let me see you. I can see your body, so I can see when. So everyone on the count of three. One, two, three. Big exhale. That's it. That's half of this, the exercise that I wanted us to do. The other half entails inhales, but after Tuesday's discussion, we decided that might be a little bit complicated for people to be doing both of these things. So for right now, just make sure you're doing exhales every so often. And that's good. If you need any help in knowing how to do that, please put something into the chat and we'll be able to help you out. And we're going to say hi to some of our friends who are on Facebook. So hi to Patricia Barlow, who I have to say I totally enjoy when she shows up in her house robe to the services. But glad that you're on Facebook joining us. And my friend Bonnie Crane, thank you. And also to my friend in Uganda, hi, Moja. Glad to see that you're here watching us and joining us as well. So let's do that again. Can we try that again, everyone, with a little bit of that exercise that I just taught you? So on the count of three, let me see, everyone. One, two, three. Can you do that? Let me see. Yeah, that's why we're not doing the inhales yet, folks. Some of you have not quite gotten this down yet. Okay. I want to remind you that the chat window is open. I don't really monitor that. I can't pay attention to the chat room and everything else technology-wise. I want to thank Alex, who's always helping with muting people and making sure the technology works, and to thank Lee, who's taking some of the most bizarre creative notes They're really fun, and she keeps track of what we're talking about when we're talking about things. Here's what I want to start with today. Here's a question, and you are not, I'm going to ask us, let me ask us not, I don't, if I asked you, if I asked any one of you, and I said, hey,
put in my headphones.
Uh-oh, wait a second, I just lost myself. Alex, there I am. Okay, sorry about that, folks, I panicked. Hannah, Tyler, can I ask you for a second? Yes, you with the awesome glasses, storyteller friend.
Yes, Rabbi.
How are you doing today? Would you know how to answer it? Not to answer it, but would you know how to answer the question, how are you?
I have a gut reaction of how I should answer that question.
Yeah.
I have five real answers.
Okay. Okay, and we talked some last week, and this is following up a bit on that, is last week we talked about what is our habitual response, and then what is, so if I just quickly, hey, Hannah, how are you? You might habitually answer, and you might say,
oh, I'm fine.
Right, but that's not where you might really be. And so if we were to ask a little further, and we say, Hannah, how are you really doing today?
I'm complicated.
Yes, you are. Oh, sorry, that sounded really wrong the way that just came out.
No, it actually sounded perfect.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's complicated, isn't it?
It's complicated, yeah.
So I want to ask this question and look around the Zoom room, and I wonder if we could figure out how to answer this. How are we doing today? And do we have enough data to know how are we doing right now? How are we? It's hard to know who's allowed to answer that question, but I want us to play with it for a moment. How are we doing?
Who is we?
Yeah, we as a group. There are about 50 of us here.
We are here.
How? Okay, so are we here? We could say, yes, we're here. But how are we doing? We don't necessarily know the answer to that quite yet. We might know a little. Anyone have a sense how we as a group are doing?
Wait a minute. We are here, yeah. But are we all here totally? We could be doing something else. We're not here in totality, giving everybody full attention.
That could be. Jonathan Lacks, it looks like your fingers want to say something. You are muted, which that makes it harder for us. Jonathan Lacks, there you are.
We are exhausted.
Yeah. You would say we are exhausted, and we can check, and we can look around, and do people kind of nod a little bit, so we can figure out how we are based on, we try a hypothesis. We are exhausted, and no. And Rob, how would you say we are? Would you be able to answer that? Yes, Rob? Rob's waving like the queen. I don't know what that means, Rob.
not well.
We're not well. We are, as a totality, we are all not well. Now, you know, I always try to avoid.
I can't speak for anyone else.
Right. But there's a hypothesis that we might be a little unwell, and I'm sure we are all too aware, and you know, I try to stay away from news, but I'm sure there are some things that are stressing some of us out these days. And so we're not all well due to that. Any other answers on how we would say, how are we today?
I have one.
Go ahead.
Rita's fine.
Go, Rita. I think that was Rita.
I've had a standard one since March, which is up and down.
Yeah. How are we? We're up and down. We can concur with that one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we are varied, and we are ups and downs. And let's keep a pulse on how we are. This is always, I don't think I've said this for a while. When I taught high school, every class, like I would teach 3 algebra 2 classes a day. And it was always different because it's a different group of kids. And every day the same group of kids might have a different feel to them. And it's never, there's a quote from I think it was Oscar Wilde, and I'd ask if somebody would check me out and post it to the chat, because I didn't prepare this quote exactly, but it was Oscar Wilde who said, "The only honest man I know is my tailor, for he gives me new measurements every time he sees me." Emily, you like that quote? "The only honest man I know is my tailor, for he takes takes new measurements of me every time he sees me."
It's too bad he didn't have a mathematician.
It is too bad. We're variable. We are variable. We're not one thing.
Yes, we are.
And we often stereotype or concretize how we think other people are. Well, that's just who he is. And we force them into this flat two-dimensional, and I think we do the same for ourselves as well. All right, I want to take a moment, take a breath, thank all of you. And I want to thank, I got a lot of love yesterday. Yesterday was my 51st birthday, the anniversary of my 51st birthday. My birthday was 51 years ago. And I'm feeling all the love. I'm really feeling all of the love. And there's this beautiful quote from Rumi. And Rumi says, "What we must seek in our lives is not love, but all the barriers we have set up to keep us from feeling love." What we seek in life is not love, but to break down all the barriers that we have that keep us from feeling love. And I had a quote that I put up at one point that said, "Can you prove to me right now that you are not fully loved exactly as you are?" Ponder that for a second. Can you prove to me right this moment that you are not fully loved exactly as you are? And I don't think any of you can prove to me that you're not loved right this moment. And maybe tuck that away. And my friend Emily, you taught me something about a week and a half ago, which said this. You said something about, well, when you want to make something stick, just swallow. Remember, you said, what? How'd you say that, Emily? Can you remind us?
Yeah, when somebody gives you a gift of something, a compliment or something,
yeah,
swallow it.
Just swallow it in. So here, I want to give this to everyone. Hey, guys, right this moment, just take it in. You are loved. You are loved. You cannot tell me you aren't. Well, you can tell me you aren't, but please don't. Good. All right, well,
everybody swallow.
All right, everyone do it. And let's do our spiritual exercise that we started with. Some of you are late, so some of you, this might be a little hard. We practiced before you got here. On the count of three, let me see. And again, maybe next week we'll get to the second half of this, but for right now, we're just doing half of this spiritual exercise. And the spiritual exercise involves, it's called breathing. And this week, we're only focusing on the first half of it, which is an exhale. So let me see on the count of three. Everyone, let's do a little spiritual practice. One, two, three. It was also pointed out on Tuesday that when someone's upset, we all say, take a breath, take a breath. And what you wind up doing is you go, and that's not the part that calms you down.
Let go of a breath.
Let go of a breath. That's the part that calms you down. So everyone do it again, would you? And if you would all day today, and I know that's a lot of it, could you please make sure you breathe or at least do the exhales the rest of the day today? Can I get anyone willing to do that spiritual exercise the rest of the day? Show of hands. I got a few.
I am, because it's already 4 o'clock here.
You have much less time to go, Jennifer. That is true. You and a few of you over on the other side of the pond have much less homework to do. You only have to breathe for maybe another 4, 5, 6 hours. The rest of us got a whole day ahead. Sorry about that. Okay, so we're gonna go to a quote. I want to share with you a story, and some of you might know this story. I'm gonna bring over. It is a story, and I did not practice the pictures ahead of time, so these pictures are coming out live, which makes it all the more fun. It is a story about an egg, a carrot, and some coffee. How many of you, by a show of hands, know this little talk about the egg, the carrot, and these are some coffee beans? How many of you know the story about the egg? Yeah, you know it, Gillian. Other people, anyone else know the story about the egg, the carrot, and coffee?
I know.
You know it as well? Fantastic. It's a good one. It goes like this. Eggs, by their nature, are really, you know, delicate, right? They're delicate. They can break pretty easily compared to carrot and coffee. Eggs are delicate. I'm going to put the yolk inside that egg. Oh, it's yellow. You can't see it. All right. Eggs are, by their nature, they're delicate. Carrots, by their very nature, they're hard. They're roots. And coffee, by its very nature, it's kind of gross. If you don't, if just coffee beans by themselves, they're kind of bitter. They're not really a lot of fun. The story goes that if you take any one of these and you add it to boiling water, something changes. And the egg goes from being delicate to what?
Hard.
It becomes hard. The carrot, which went was a root which was hard, goes through boiling water and it becomes
soft.
It becomes soft. It's like you guys know the answer to this. And coffee, you add hot boiling water to coffee, it becomes
tasty.
It becomes good. Delicious.
It's liquid.
Right?
Add plus milk and sugar.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't like coffee very much. I like hot milk and hot sugar, but as an adult, you got to have, you know, I like my frappuccinos. The question,
coffee changes the water.
Coffee changes the water and transforms it into something different.
So do we all need to be more like coffee?
Oh, that's...
get better under adversity, kind of?
No, we all need to be like water.
We all need to be. Some of you are all over this already.
That's everyone up.
No, this is great. So, and I think all of us are all three. I don't think any one of us are just one of them. But let's play with the analogy for a moment. We're all delicate. We all have bits of us that are hard. We all have bits of us that are kind of bitter. What would you say the boiling water represents in our analogy here?
Life.
Life.
Change.
Adversity. Life, adversity, challenges, interactions, change. We all start delicate and we all can become hardened. Yeah? We all have parts of us that are hardened that can become
soft.
And we all have parts of us that are kind of useless, but can become
coffee.
Can become coffee. So, I guess I'm going to ask it this way. Today, and I the only answer I will not allow is 33%, 33%, and 34%. Where would you say you are today? Did you wake up this morning more egg? Pre-water. When you woke up this morning, did you start out this morning feeling delicate? It's yes. Just how you find yourself. Did you find yourself this morning kind of hard, like a root? You find yourself this morning a little bit bitter. How do you find yourself this morning? And where do you want to go?
Well, I must have had water really early because I didn't have any of those three.
You're none of those, Jeffrey?
None of those.
Yeah, me neither.
I woke up in a good mood.
Me too.
And actually, the first day I think was come down and made coffee. So I guess
okay.
I'm delicious.
You are delicious, Jeffrey. I like that.
Are delicious.
This brings us, this is one of the main parts of a spiritual life. One of the main parts of a spiritual life that we talk about is this, is the transformation, is knowing that we aren't who we were, and we're not going to be who we are. And that's part of the spiritual life, is to be along for the journey. It's not about the destination.
It's the journey.
It's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. What might hinder this? What might hinder our knowing that this is all about the journey? What might muck up our system and make us think that it's not?
Fear.
What else
anxiety.
Might keep... Anxiety. Thanks, Ray.
Mindset.
Pain.
Too much of a good thing.
Pain. Yeah. Too much...
Too much joy, too much whatever.
Yeah, we get comfortable.
Too much of anything.
We get a little bit too comfortable sometimes, and we get this fixed mindset. Anyone who's had schooling recently knows there was a big movement on talking about fixed mindsets, and the opposite of fixed mindsets, they say, is?
Growth.
Is a growth mindset.
It's still there.
It's all the rage within education these days is growth mindset. And that's what
and in business.
Say that again.
That and in business.
And like in business, a growth mindset. Yeah. And I think this goes to the quote about the tailor. That we don't want to see that as much as we would all like to think that we are who we are, and this is who I am, and this is me, and we're not. We all need to know life isn't like that. Life is all about change. And there's very little of it that's fixed.
But you are still you.
Right. You step into the river. There's still a river, even though you can never step into the same river twice. It's still a river.
Are we?
It is.
Yeah. All right. I will say I'm not.
I love those.
What's the biggest thing that's keeping you? What is the biggest thing that's keeping you from knowing that it all is flux, that it's all change, and you can't hold on to things as they are? What's the biggest thing that's keeping you from this religious mindset, the religious mindset of growth, this religious mindset of knowing that we don't always stay delicate, that we don't always stay fixed, that we don't always stay bitter, and that we're not always delicious in the other ones? What's the things that keeping
your
you?
Your own viewpoint of yourself.
That's fantastic, Amy. Hold on one sec. I want everyone to think of an answer that were I to say, hey, Candace, but I'm not going to say that. What is something that keeps you from being loose and open and knowing that none of this is fixed? And I want you to be able to answer that question in the first person singular. What keeps me from being fixed? What keeps me from feeling, what keeps me from knowing that life is all about change is blank. Now, I'll give you a moment to think about that, and we're going to jump into small groups.
Ask that question again.
I will. Hold on. I'm trying to find my breakout rooms. There they are. The question I'm going to ask people to come up with is, what is it that keeps you, or to answer the question, what is it that keeps me from what keeps me fixed? What keeps me from knowing that it's all change? What keeps me from this growth mindset? What keeps me in a fixed mindset of thinking this is this, that is that, the other is the other, and not seeing that there's flow and there's change and that nobody's that fixed. What is the thing that you would answer that keeps, what keeps me from feeling like change is the immutable rule of the universe? What wants me to not have change is blank. And we're going to break into groups, and they're going to be shorter. Question. Mason, you had a question there? I saw a question somewhere. Yeah, Michael, was that you?
No, it was me.
Oh, Rob, what do you got? You have a question, a clarity thing to look at?
I have an answer.
Oh, good. Hold on to your answer, because we're going to go into small groups. So here we go. Everyone's going to be zooming into small groups. I'm going to stay along with the people who are on Facebook. And here we go. You're going into small groups and answering that question. What's keeping you from feeling like everything changes? There we go. Thank you for moving into small groups. And I'm going to stay along with the people, Bonnie and Shirley and Patricia and Moja and anyone else who's on Facebook. I'll stay with you guys. All go. Hi, Sean and Al, and you guys all went to little groups. Oh, there's Al. Hey, Al, looks like you're bouncing back and forth, buddy. Oh, we got more than one Al Brown. I got Al Brown and Al B. Al, what's going on, dude?
Yeah. I had a failure to launch or something. I tried to go into my join room and it didn't join.
I'm going to send you right now into room 4 and see if I can get that to work again.
All right, I'll try.
And if it doesn't work, you and I will chat. And I got answers here from Bonnie and Shirley. Shirley, I think that's your answer. What keeps you from knowing that life is all about change and things are all going to change is expectations and thinking that I already know. Those are great answers. And those of you who are on Facebook, those who are watching later, what would you say? Hey, you know what? Chances are you're listening on a headset or there's no one else in the room. So what do you say you just answer out loud? What is it that's keeping you from knowing that this is all about change and that nothing is fixed and that you, your precious sense of self, is not permanent and that this is all flux? Oh, there's my sister. Oh, Sean. Hi, buddy. Glad to see you there. Hey, dude. It's just you and me. Everyone else is in small groups.
Oh, okay.
That's good. Thanks for the birthday wishes. I got your video yesterday.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Jude, hang on one second. Okay. I gotta go. Bye.
Oh, I muted you, dude. And so now you gotta unmute yourself.
Yeah, I did.
So the question is, and I'll tell you, the question I asked everyone is, if we all know that life is all about change and everything changes, why do we all insist on pretending that things are solid and don't change? What gets in our way of having a growth mindset and keeps us wanting to think that everything is fixed? That was the question, but
Did you read that book?
Which book? Growth Mindset?
Yeah.
Carol Dweier, who's an author?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. So. Never heard of it at all. That's a joke, dude. Yeah, I'm funny.
Okay.
Oh, and hi, Bonnie. And Bonnie Crane says the thing that's keeping her from knowing that things are flux is being afraid. I think that's a good answer, Bonnie. Yeah. So I'll answer for me. What's keeping me? Yeah, it's comfortable. I like certainty more than I like doubt. And as comfortable as I can get in doubt, it's still less comfortable than certainty. I would rather know than not know.
That's a control thing, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally, right? We would much rather control And even if I have to force things that are that change, and I have to force them into a box so that they don't change, I'll do it. It's not pretty. It's just how it is.
Where are you now?
We're in Bend. For my birthday, we came to Bend.
Oh, yeah, you told me you were going to do that.
Guess what? Yeah.
What?
We did it. Thumbs up.
We're going to Walmart.
It's like Bend.
Is there a Walmart in Bend?
No.
Oh, look who's here. Come here, birthday girl.
Oh, it's my birthday twin.
Yeah, it's on Friday. Yeah.
My birthday twin.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Oh,
does she look different?
Oh, wait. Oh, snap. I don't even know what happened there. I got...
Hey, Rabbi Brian.
No, no. What is that?
Annie, who's not...
God, bless me. That was me. Annie and I meditated on Friday, and the recording of it just showed back up. She meditated with me for 20 minutes. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I did tell her I was going to pay her $20 if she did it. She did.
Buck a minute? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Hey, Ollie, if you want, on Monday, we do a five-minute meditation. And if you sit with me for 5 minutes on Monday, I'll send you $5. Sound like a deal? Sorry, I'd do it for you, too. Ollie, why do you only have one fingernail painted? 2 p.m. my time, 5 p.m. your time. Oh, you have all of them painted. I only saw the blue one for a second. Yeah. All right, everyone.
Hola, Enrique.
Hola.
Hola, hola.
Ya llego.
Yeah, Enrique, you don't know my sister. My sister speaks real good Spanish.
Ah, qué bien.
Qué bien, ¿no? Qué bien. Mira, viene más gente. Es mi hijita.
I don't feel helpless in that I had a plan to emigrate, although I'm very old to emigrate. But that's what my husband's family had to do, and I would not live under a Trumpian dictatorship.
No, absolutely. Thank you, Carol. And Carol, thank you also for the birthday wishes. That was very dear of you to send.
You did it again. We don't have enough time. I want to tell you, we need more time.
Poor Candace didn't even get to talk.
So,
we actually had too much time. There was like dead silence for like a minute.
So I apologize. It is never enough time. And there's a great quote that says there is never enough time unless you're serving it.
There's never enough. I don't get the joke. Never enough time unless you're serving it.
Yeah, if you're serving.
It's prison.
Yeah, that's a good minute too.
Oh, that's for you who are in conversation with our friend, the person in jail. Okay. James, yeah.
Oh, I do have some updates for people about James. He's feeling better, which is good. Alex was so kind and bought him a typewriter for his birthday that just passed in December. Wow. So I got a typewritten letter from him, which was really nice. And he should be hopefully going down to a level 2housing, a new prison, sometime in 2021, which is fantastic.
That is great.
And Alex...
Good answer, thank you.
Alex, if you would put James's... James's address up in the chat again. Anyone who wants a prison pen pal, James has got, he's a wonderful man. He has a great quote I just found in a pile of things that he wrote. He said, "I wish we could wash our hearts and do better with our hands."
Yeah.
I thought that was just a great, a beautiful, beautiful phrase. All right, so malleable. What kind of good answers came up in your group as to why is it we try to insist that things are as they are and we don't want them to change? What kind of good answers might have come up in your group that you want to share with the entire group so that we have some better answers to go with? Anyone have any brilliance that hit in their group? Yeah, Ray, what happened, bud?
Well, I think
kind of depends on your age.
How's that?
We look at things as we age, we look at things differently. If you're younger, you're concerned about where am I going in my career, or I'm just going to bet you in the future. If you're sort of, you know, you're no longer working, you're retired, you're sort of at the end of all that, it's like, okay, so do I have enough money to live? What will people think of me? What am I going to do to keep active? Those kind of things. So they're all fears.
That our fears change. I hear you.
Yeah,
our fears change based on our age. Yeah, what else would keep us more wanting to be fixed and less wanting to be transformed? What else did we come up with? Yeah, Michael, what do you got? I know you didn't have enough time.
Well, from my experience in psychology, psychotherapy, it's missing out on a certain developmental stage.
Yeah, there's a great...
And I think that's a major problem in our culture, for me and in our culture.
There's a phrase I only heard a few years ago, FOMO. You guys know this phrase, FOMO, F-O-M-O?
Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
The millennial struggle.
That's me.
The fear of missing. Well, Carol Ann Clausen Williams, you are one of the millennials that I love very much.
Good.
Carol Ann, what else do you want to add to us?
I just want to say, for me, it's my beliefs, my erroneous beliefs.
Yeah.
Because of missing out on getting the kind of discipline I needed as an infant. I've done a lot of psychotherapy and been a psychotherapist, and I've traced it back to my infancy, so I have that woundedness of myself that I have to deal with constantly. And I don't know, it's just, your question made me dizzy.
Oh, I did my... It's a good day. I've done my job then. I get people thinking, and I want to say hi. I see my friend Denise has joined us, and I saw somebody else has just joined in. I wanted to say hi, and glad you're here.
Hi.
So this is about, part of our religious life we know is about transformation. Uh-huh. And the only thing, not the only thing, but the major thing that keeps us from being transformed is?
Fear.
And the biggest lever, if we can move one thing that would help us to transform more, would it be outside of ourselves or inside of ourselves? Let not everyone answer at once. Yeah, it was kind of a gimme of a question. Inside. The importance of a spiritual life is to be transformed. Is to be transformed. And as is attributed to Thomas Merton, he said, if the you of 10 years ago doesn't think that the you of today, yes, I'm talking to you, if the you of 10 years ago doesn't think the you of today is a heretic, you have not been growing spiritually.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that a good quote?
Put that up on some chat or something.
Yeah, if the you of... Thomas Merton did not say this. If the you of 10 years ago doesn't think that the you of today... is a heretic, you're not growing spiritually.
What does it have to do with sheep?
What does it have to do with sheep?
Yes.
You're going to have to clue me in on the pun there, Rob.
You.
Oh, the you.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
And underneath it all is time.
Yeah. There
it is. Time is what makes it impossible to have what we want.
Time.
Yeah.
Time is also the only thing that makes change possible.
Right.
It is.
Right? We have time.
And it's the only thing that keeps us from it.
Yeah.
So the idea is to try to make the best of our time.
And just to show of hands, folks, when life asks you to change, you seem to have two choices. You can either go with it or not go with it. Let's talk about those two options for a moment, shall we? Life gives you two options. Change, and life is pushing you towards a certain thing. You have an option to either go the way life is pushing you or not. Let's talk about those two options. You have the option to dig your heels in.
Or get swallowed by a very large sea creature.
Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it, Hannah. There's this beautiful story about Jonah. Right? The story about Jonah and the great fish is that God calls to Jonah at the... Jonah is one of the best stories in the Bible. It's this beautiful story of a man named Jonah who has no yichus. He has no pedigree. He's just a guy. Usually it says, this person was the son of this person, was the son of this person, was the son. Jonah's just like regular Joe. He's just a guy. And Jonah gets called by God, and God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, well, I always think of it this way, is standard human operating procedure, S-H-O-P. Standard,
he goes the other way.
Standard human operating procedure is the universe tells Jonah to go this way, and you're exactly right, Rob. Jonah says, I'm going this way, and Jonah hires there's a text tradition that says that Jonah hired the entire boat to go the other way. He goes towards Tarshish instead. And as we know, the sea gets stormy, and Jonah jumps overboard to keep everyone in the boat from dying. And that's when the great fish, I have no idea how this picture is going to turn out. Oh, yeah, baby, that's a great fish.
There you go.
And there's Jonah.
He's an eye.
The eye helps, right? So Jonah gets swallowed by the great fish because he tries to do the opposite of what the universe is calling him to do. Folks, I get this story so much. I did not choose to be this outside-the-box rabbi. This is where the universe has pushed me towards. I pushed against this. And you know what happens when you push against it is you wind up in the proverbial halibut hotel. Thank you for laughing. I wrote that joke myself.
Oh, that's a good one.
And
it's a special on Netflix.
And
the funny thing of the story is that the fish keeps swimming towards Nineveh.
Correct. The fish knows what to do. And it's only when Jonah, and this is a beautiful part of the story, it's only when Jonah inside the fish says to the universe, not please let me out. It's only when Jonah says, this is where I find myself. It's only when Jonah is present to reality that the problems let up. And the fish spits him out right at Nineveh where he was supposed to be. And the joke of the story is that the impossible task he was meant to do winds up being pretty easy. Show of hands, how many of you have struggled against what it was you thought you should do? And then when you did it, it was like, oh, fuck, that was easy. What the hell's wrong with me? I only see, like, most people's hands. That's fine. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I need the fish knows what to do on a T-shirt.
The fish knows what to do. Can yes. Somebody get up on that T-shirt idea? I like that.
Sell it on Rabbi Brian's Etsy.
Well, put it on yes. Rabbi Brian's Etsy store. Yeah. That's a great idea. Those of you yes. who have not been to Rabbi Brian's Etsy shop, Alex is putting a link up in the chat right now. Thank you, Alex.
Shameless plug.
Folks, yes, this is a ministry. This is my life's work. I'm going to make a shameless plug. Please, and I'm going to thank all of you people who have helped to support and who do help to support and make this happen. This is how this happens. This doesn't just happen. It happens because you all help this to happen. So thank you for that. So while we're there, there are three ways you can help. You can go to Rabbi Brian's Etsy shop. You can make a contribution to help. And you can invite your friends. Tell your friends, hey, Saturday, why don't you... Oh, you can't see that. That's over here. There it is. Why don't you invite your friends and send your friends the newsletter and encourage them. It's sometimes a little bit weird to be pushing a religious thing, but tell them it's not that kind of religion. It's this kind of religion where we're talking. What was the phrase, Jennifer, you had? Do what the fish says? What you had?
The fish knows what to do.
The fish knows what to do. Oh, you know what? That reminds me of another quote. There's this great quote from Hafiz. And if you don't know Hafiz, you should. There's a great translation of his works by a man named Daniel Ladinsky. And Hafiz has this beautiful quote. He says, at a certain point, and I need you to hear this. And when I say you, I don't mean the general you. I'm talking to you, the person who's listening to this. Hafiz says this quote, and it's applicable to all of us. He says, at a certain point, the fish has to say, something just ain't right about this camel ride. At a certain point, the fish has to say, something just ain't right about this camel ride.
What does that even mean?
All right. Well, the fish knows what to do. The fish on a camel ride. Somebody help me out. Candace.
Out of his element.
The fish is out of the... Right? At a certain point, we all realize, oh, shit. This society is really fucked up. The messages that I'm getting, that I'm not enough, that there isn't enough, that I should be scared, those messages are wrong. At a certain point, the fish has to realize something just ain't right about this camel ride. Which is to say,
get it now.
You got it?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you for explaining it.
The fish knows what to do.
The fish knows what to do.
That's it. I'm going to be.
No, it's got to be quicker. It's got to be follow the fish.
Follow. That sounds like a Jesus reference, Rabbi.
Really? Well, I think you have a few members in this group.
Yeah, I'm totally in. So we're going
to
start.
The fish knows what to do, but it wouldn't be the same for the camel.
Well, it's a difference. I think at a certain point, the camel in the ocean has to say, something just ain't right about this. Or, the octopus in the parking garage at a certain point has to say.
Don't worry, Brian, it's an Old Testament fish.
It's an Old Testament.
I don't want
to be this person, but technically it's a whale and whale's not.
Okay, wait. Now, Jennifer, okay. I'm going to give you. Now, Jennifer, I don't like pulling Hebrew scripture here, but in the Hebrew, it says a great fish.
Right, not a whale.
The whale is the wrong.
There are no whales in that water.
Yeah, okay, now.
And there are no whales in the text. Time out.
It's a story. It's a metaphor. Let's get to another piece of paper here because there's an important thing.
Right, the whale is in Pinocchio, not in. Oh my god.
Okay, so.
Good.
So there's this brings us back to our difference between true and truth. The stories are truth stories, not necessarily true stories.
Right.
Yeah. Or fact and truth.
Correct. But
that's easier than separating true from truth.
Right.
Okay. Right. Okay. Good. So we're going to start the first official Religion Outside the Box T-shirt contest. And whoever likes to design the best T-shirt for Follow the Fish or anything like that, you get the pride of knowing your design won.
Yay!
Now, I have to stop us for a second because there's a quote I so... This is what I had wanted us to talk about today, and I'm glad to get there.
Don't miss that.
And this was a quote that... So, okay, let's go back and do our anyone think I look a little bit like Kilroy right now?
Kilroy.
There we go. Rabbi was here. There you go. Eric Frome wrote, this is a deep quote. It is one thing to recognize one's dependence and limitations. It is one thing to recognize one's dependence and limitations. Hey, we are all dependent. We all are limited. And it is something entirely different to indulge in this dependence, to worship the forces on which one depends. Okay, it's one thing to recognize your dependence and limitations. We're all limited. We're all dependent. And it is something entirely different to indulge this dependence, to worship the forces on which one depends. The one is humility, recognizing your dependence and your limitations. I'm limited. I can't do everything. That's humility. And the other is self-humiliation, to worship the forces on which one depends. That's a big one, isn't it?
It's familiar. Yeah.
That's a big one.
What are some
of the... like what happened this week.
Yes, exactly.
I got to say, first of all, I'm really proud of the whole group that somehow we got this far without having to mention the news of the week. Not that the news isn't very important, but thank you for us not getting sidetracked too far into it. It is one thing to recognize one's dependence and limitations, and another to worship the things upon which one depends. Can you think from your own life? So we can see it in politics, maybe some, but can you think in your own life a place in which you mess that up and you wind up worshiping the things upon which you depend?
Yeah. It's an abdication of self-responsibility because I think we get scared.
Give us a little bit more, Barb. We get scared and so we abdicate our own responsibility.
Because I think that what it says is that we have to recognize within ourselves our limitations, and that can be a contradiction to the idea that we're supposed to be perfect. And so there becomes this battle.
I love
so
that.
So then I can just say, well, I'll just give it up to whatever you want to call that.
And we wind up, it's self-humiliation.
Yes, it's a degradation.
Degradation of the self. To worship the forces upon which that we depend.
Wow.
Other thoughts on that? And Hannah Tyler, I don't want your head to hurt anymore, so you should just go back to the breathing exercises we were doing a moment ago.
Be nice to my daughter.
I thought I was being nice to your daughter, Barb. I apologize. I'm with you.
I got it, Mom. I got it.
Yeah. That's good. Someone else, who else has got a thought about the difference here between... Alma, what do you have? Start all again, please, Alma.
It says it's one thing to recognize one's dependence and limitations, but one also has to accept that sometimes you have to recognize that your need for independence has to be scaled down.
Oh, that we all are dependent. We are all dependent. We can't get away from that.
We need to be working towards interdependence.
Yeah. How many of us
when you are getting older, you don't want to give up what you see as your independence.
Right.
I'm at that stage now.
Right.
So am I.
And do we have any people who are in under octogenarians who are having the same problem as well, who don't want to pretend, who want to pretend that they are independent? Anyone here like to pretend that they're independent and don't really need, I'm all right, I'm a one-man army, I'll do this all myself, I don't need nobody?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, only most everybody. That's fantastic. Okay.
I think I've been...
Sort of me and myself and I.
Well, hold on, Joy, say that again, my friend.
I think that recently I have been learning that interdependence is better than independence.
Interdependence is better. Right. It's an ego hit, isn't it, though? To realize that we are not all of it. And I think that brings us all the way back. It brings us back to this idea of a fixed mindset and a growth mindset is if I am all by myself, I'm fine. I'm fixed. I don't change. I might be pushing that one a little bit. That's all right.
Yeah.
But you change every moment.
We sure do.
Could we say that there is a difference between being dependent and understanding there is interdependence? I see those different.
Say that again, Ricky.
Could we say that there is a difference between being dependent and understanding over-dependence?
Yes. Yeah. We have to balance it some. All right, folks, we are running towards a time boundary. I do want to hear, because we talked, boy, did we get a lot of thoughts out today. It was fantastic. I'd love if somebody said to you after this service, hey, what is it that you learned today? What is it? I'd love to hear a sentence from maybe four or five different people. What is one thing that you're taking with you from today's service? What is one thing you are taking with you? Something that you learned, something that you're going to take with you. Carol Ann Clausen Williams, what do you got, friend?
I'm not so different than anyone else. And I always think I'm all alone, but I've got a lot of people here that are just like me.
You're not alone.
We're all raising our hands together.
Amen.
And we love you.
And all of us. All of us aren't alone. And that was what we started at the beginning y'all are loved, no matter however you want to pretend otherwise.
And that another thing I learned is that your mother can't be 51 years old.
My mom is not 51 years old. That is true.
I thought it was her birthday.
Well, she gave birth to, right. It's complicated. Yeah. I will say that ever since then.
Your birth is her birthday too.
Yeah, it is. But ever since then, we've never been quite as close. I heard another horrible version of that joke, but I want to get to more important things. What are other things that we learned? What are you taking with you? Yes, Jennifer.
Something came up in the breakout room that was really amazing.
What's that?
We're always told to learn from our mistakes, but that comes with both the good side and the bad side, and you learn what goes wrong, and that can be really counterproductive, and we sort of, it feeds into the fear cycle and stops us from enacting good, positive change.
Amen.
And we've got to sort of keep a positive mindset on that. And if you don't, then you're sort of constantly focusing on what went wrong all the time.
Beautiful. So let's make a little bit of homework for ourselves for the next week of focusing on what went right. Give me some other things, because we talked a lot about fish, and I'm not hearing much about the fish in this wrap-up part.
I think fish shouldn't be comfortable riding camels.
And we think and that's a metaphor a little bit there, Stephen, so help us out with the metaphor. What might that mean for us?
We really shouldn't be comfortable if we're not in the right place, and we should constantly be looking for where that right place is.
Amen. Amen.
Go where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated.
Amen. Kip, you had something you want to add?
Yeah, I don't know if I can wrap it up in one sentence, but you know, and my take may be different on this, but you know, for those of us who deal with anxiety, you know, being able to have that as a limitation and a dependency, because it is a dependency to feel anxious.
Yeah.
But to have the faith to step back and to take 10 minutes of surrender and just fucking sit there and not let it, not worship that anxiety and not feed it, but just say, I'm feeling anxious and I'm going to sit here and then I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Amen. Amen. Maybe can I get an amen
maybe
for that?
That's where the phrase fish out of water comes from.
It might be where the phrase like fish out of water comes from.
I feel like a fish out of water.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should when things are wrong. We should feel wrong in this fucked up society. We should feel wrong when beauty and money and power are all the things that are worshipped. We should feel wrong about that. And good for us for being uncomfortable in it. Okay, we ran a little bit over. Stick around for virtual birthday cake, which is usual virtual donut hole time. But in honor of my 51st birthday, which was yesterday, we're changing it to virtual birthday cake. And I want to thank everyone for being here. And we will do this again next week. Our friend Joe is not here to help to moderate this virtual birthday cake time. So I'm wondering, can I get a volunteer? Alex is always so wonderful on the tech. Can I get somebody who is willing to kind of host and play cruise director for the virtual birthday cake? Or I'll let the group
do it. I see his hand up.
Whoever that was, you're on. I thank you, everyone. Give a wave. Say goodbye. Oh, wait. All right. Say goodbye. Thank you all so much. See you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.